Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today. We are continuing our study in Ezekiel chapter 1 and this vision that he received. And yesterday, I set the background of this. I'm going to do that again to start the program. This is very important in our day that we understand that what took place back then is going to happen again. And we can learn a lot from this. At this very moment, Ezekiel is over in Babylon, and back in Jerusalem, Jeremiah is contending with all the false teachers. In fact, in the first 10 chapters of Jeremiah, it is completely devoted to counter all the false messages of the false prophets. Jeremiah warned them, "You are idolaters. You've polluted the house of the Lord by your worship and profaning his holiness. You have high places everywhere." Jeremiah says, everyone's turned to their own course. Behold, they've rejected the word of the Lord. And I am announcing judgment is here. Well, against that, we can imagine what happened when all the false prophets in Israel are saying, don't listen to Jeremiah. Peace, peace. God's not going to judge his temple, his people. How dare he say something like that? Jeremiah 12, the Lord says, for even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they've called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I have forsaken my house. I've left my heritage. I've given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. False prophets were rising up and saying, that's not true. It's not true. Well, by now, the first deportation has already occurred, and things are heightening. In Jerusalem, Hananiah, the false prophet, has stood up, and he gives this message. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I've broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I'm going to bring it all back, he said. The message, dear listener, in Judah became so bad by the false prophets. Letters were going from Jerusalem to Babylon saying that God was going to make this short. Captivity, they would soon be home. This is a one-for-one correspondence to the message of pastors everywhere today. Listen. Very important to maintain discernment here. That's what the Bible calls, and we have so little discernment today. Discernment to test. The true prophets, the true preachers, the true pastors always clearly announced the law and the gospel. In other words, the warning of judgment for those who didn't repent and the salvation for those who believe the gospel. There was a balance. But judgment was always preached. Repentance unto salvation was preached. The false prophets only preached deliverance. Do you get that? They never made anyone uncomfortable about their sin. They never confronted about sin. They never, everything was God loves you. God will return you. God will never judge you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God is going to give you prosperity. And they never gave the call and a message to repent and turn from sin. And because that message was absent, the whole nation plummeted headlong into idolatry. In their worship, it was unrestrained. There was nothing they didn't do. And in their view of God, profaning his holiness. Boy, as I study this, I think deja vu. We're living this. Think about the message, what's happened, the lack of reverence of God for his holiness, the lies from false teachers who don't do any real confrontation about sin, who let anyone and everyone in their church, they give everything and anything to tickle people's ears. That's today. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's now. Now all these letters are coming from these false prophets to where Ezekiel is. And it's caused commotion because these are those who honored the Lord and didn't fight by going to Babylon. So what we have in Ezekiel 1 is the Lord raising up a counterforce against all of this in Babylon. He has one in Jerusalem with Jeremiah, and now he raises up Ezekiel. The background of the false prophets dreaming up visions of their own making, the Lord now in Ezekiel 1 gives his own vision. Notice its reference in verse 1, that the heavens were opened, says Ezekiel, and I saw visions of God. As he looks up, behold, in verse 4, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, and a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of it the midst, like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. It's a strong vision, because the north is where Babylon was being employed by God to judge his people. Jeremiah 4:6 says, set up the standard toward Zion. Take refuge. Do not delay, for I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. But this is not, dear listener, in Ezekiel 1, a vision of Babylon. That's what the text wants you to see. From the same place that Babylon was coming as a terror to plunder and take away into captivity Judah, comes what Ezekiel sees as a whirlwind. It's a massive furnace of fire. This furnace cloud was so awesome to behold that it says the fire was engulfing itself as it moved. It was a glory furnace, nothing but continuous flashes of lightning blazing and radiating fire all around. Out of the midst of it, something like the color of amber. What is this? Needless to say, this is nothing of what the false prophets were declaring to the people of how God was going to visit his people. In a calm, light, kind, peaceful manner. Dear listener, this was a severe visitation. It was an epic firestorm of the wrath of an angry God. And that's the point. It was so contrary to what everyone had built up into their own minds about God. This was God coming in warfare, making very clear to Ezekiel that the nation had been filled with false hopes and against all the dreams of their own making, against their own immediate prosperity, everyone had forgotten that this God is a consuming fire. So put it together. The storm spoke of his wrath. The fire, engulfing the fire, reminded Ezekiel that God in his very nature is a consuming fire. So what we have here is the direct contrary reality to what the false prophets were teaching about God. That he was coming here in threatening appearance, not in kindness. In threatening appearance, that judgment had to first do its work to purge and then reveal his mercy. So what Ezekiel saw was God in his incomparable glory, secluded from all that is unholy and profane. And why is God coming in judgment? Don't miss this point. He's coming to deliver his people from a nation overwhelmed with false teachers and false prophets who are corrupting his elect and his children. He's jealous for them. The Lord has his elect out there today, and all these false teachers corrupting the church, making it a business. He is jealous, and he will judge this stuff. He is coming. Bow the heads down. Smoke is coming out of his nostrils, Psalm 18, and he will judge. Judgment begins in the house of God. Now, what does Ezekiel see? From within this furnace, he saw four living creatures. And he says in verse 5, They had the likeness of a man, each having four faces and four wings. The first thing he does is explain what these creatures look like. Now remember, this is symbolic, but he's describing realities. So it's no surprise that we find ourselves looking into the throne room of God to the cherubim that surround the throne, these angel-like creatures. That's what's being described here. He says, as I looked at them, they each had four faces. So four creatures with four faces, 16 faces in total. Notice what they are. They all face forward. The first and prominent face was like that of a man. And then to the right was like that of a lion. And to the left, like that of an ox. And to the back, the face of an eagle. What was Ezekiel seeing? He was seeing the most powerful of all creatures formed into one splendid, powerful angel. The face of a man speaking of knowledge, the face of a lion speaking of power, the face of an ox of strength and of loyalty, the face of an eagle speaking of swiftness. Can you imagine a creature like this? Its legs were giant pillars that were straight. They didn't bend, and they had calves' feet, speaking of agility. They didn't turn where they went. Each one went straight forward in force and in power. 16 heads, 32 eyes. There's not a place they do not see. Their legs and feet are constructed to be made to execute straightway the will of their maker. They did not deviate in the least bit from the will of God. They were swift to do that work. You'll notice in verse 8, they had the hands of a man under their wings. They were skilled to do whatever the bidding of Christ was. This is the point. These awesome, powerful beings surrounded the throne, who themselves were so terrifying to behold. Scary. Your worst nightmare. Notice what they're doing. In verse 9, we read that their wings, you'll notice that if you look here, their wings touched one another. Look at verse 11. Their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each touched another. So the picture is this. Their massive wings were raised up, and they utterly surrounded the glory of God. There were no cracks in this fence. They totally and completely shielded the Lord God in his glory. God is completely walled off in his holiness. It's the same imagery we were given in Genesis when the cherubim were set in front of the garden to keep Adam and Eve from going back into the presence of God, lest they would be consumed. Their appearance, it says, was like coals of burning fire, torches going back and forth among the living creatures like fire. Out of the fire went lightning. This was awesome, dear listener. And all you can say is, against all the false delusions of the false teachers, God here was presenting himself in fury. He is not a God to be trifled with. He's not a God that we act cavalier or nonchalant or casual around in worship. He's not a God we act like who we can text message and just one of the buddies, you know? This is the God of heaven and earth, who in his holiness will consume you if you profane him. Everyone is called to bow the knee. In fact, any true salvation comes when you realize your sin before this holy God. You bow the knee in deep conviction and you cry, "Woe is me, I'm undone from a man of unclean lips." It is then that you see your need for Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught, 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.